Silicon Valley has been fighting an ongoing problem for years: lack of gender diversity in the workplace. Now, you don't have to have a corporate anthropology expertise to see this, but it helps. On this edition of Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with a corporate anthropologist who is seeing some progress on gender equality, but not enough.
Well, really, it's an issue that follows Silicon Valley around: lack of women in the workplace. It's not just about X and Y chromosomes. It's about the lack of diversity in thought leadership, ideation, and decision making. That lack of diversity would not be tolerated in nature. Evolution hates monopolies. Some companies are doing better than others on gender equality efforts, with diversity hiring specialists and HR components. But it's really about culture and willingness.
It's not a bad time for Uber to rethink its entire culture and build one in which women can thrive and be the opposite of what it is now. And wouldn't that be interesting from Silicon Valley land?
Absolutely.
Where it could take the bad and turn lemons into lemonade in such an empowered way that women begin to thrive there in a much balanced environment, and show them how you can do that as opposed to being defensive about it.
Here's my chat with Andy Simon, a marketing consultant and author of the award-winning book On the Brink, a fresh lens to take your business to new heights. I don't see Travis Kalanick becoming a Mark Benioff anytime soon. Having said that, I do agree with you that it is an opportunity for the world's largest startup, the world's largest privately held company, to set an example. And Travis Kalanick, to his credit, kind of, this week did say he needs help with leadership.
If Airbnb has 26% of its workforce women, and Uber has 15, maybe.
Maybe.
And an environment in which it's not. Well, think about it. You and I talked last time about how the successful companies have lots of women in their leadership and management roles.
Yes.
McKinsey has lots of research about the hedge funds who do really well with women in their leadership roles.
That's right.
They work. So I'm doing research now on CEOs, women CEOs who have successful companies. Several of them have grown them to 18, 20, 25 million and have sold them for 100 million plus.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you about the balance between the guys and the gals, the process and the innovation, how they build a culture in which people can be empowered and thrive, and they're working. So it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
I got a dozen interviews going. Sounds like a new book might come out.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Because it's so much fun to listen to them be successful together. Mm-hmm. As opposed to create this environment in which there's so much tension and animosity. So I'm excited about what I'm hearing.
I'm excited to talk with you about that book when it comes out.
Me too.
So you're right. Women in tech is something that we often touch on in this as well. And I think that I also kind of want to do another hard pivot if we could, because I don't want to give Uber too much time. They've had time to figure themselves out, and they need to make some moves at this point. Okay, what about AI in cars? That seems to be a niche that seems to be a very active space right now. Is that what
yes.
you're seeing too?
Oh, yes. So much coming out on industrial age 4.0 and what's going on in the cars and some great stuff. So I'll take it two ways. One, I had a great client in Michigan who manufactured wonderful steel fenders for cars that absorbed the shock, and they got stalled because aluminum came along and steel no longer was the preferred metal for those. Uh-huh. And now they're looking at autonomous vehicles and wondering whether they will have any bumpers to absorb crashes at all. And so slowly but surely, the industry is going to be going through a tremendous transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about artificial intelligence, and I'm looking at this whole transformation along the continuum, because if autonomous vehicles are intelligent like this and can respond and adapt, there are going to be a whole lot of transformations coming. And who's going to create the infotainment inside so mm-hmm. that when you get inside, it's a whole different experience?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have share riding where you can plug it in? There's actually a wonderful 3D printed bus working in Washington, Virginia now that was produced in Arizona in 10 hours. It's an autonomous vehicle, artificial intelligence.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful little bus, little. It's got 5 or 6 seats in it. And it was developed in 10 hours, assembled in an hour, and it's going live. So go back to artificial intelligence. The whole supply chain is going to be going through a transformation. The OEMs are, the building and construction of this, they go to 3D printing. Who's going to be needed?
Yes.
And who's going to then buy these? Is anyone going to buy them? Are we going to just buy shares in them? How are we going to begin to think through the capabilities of these vehicles for transforming how people get around all together?
Right.
And how we manufacture them? The other side is, what's the insurance industry going to do?
Great question.
You know, they now insure people against their bad driving habits or bad accidents or bad luck. Now, are they going to insure the vehicles or the manufacturers of the vehicles? And then I was working with one company in the automotive supply business, and they're angry because the manufacturers won't give them access to the computer systems that are now in the cars, and they don't want them to do any replacements. And all of a sudden, they're going to find no cars to have to repair or replace because it's all going to be intelligence that's artificial and done through the computers. So there's lots of industries that are looking at this going, oh, my gosh.
Right.
They will not need me.
And thinking about your rolling data acquisition bus, basically that feeds into a network and that helps all the commuters across all the grid get to work faster and more efficiently. That impacts gasoline usage. It really does domino.
And the guy who's selling the car in Atlanta to get a doesn't need it, said, why should I spend all this insurance? The car sits in the garage most of the day. Think about all the boomers with their cars.
Yep.
And as they become less able to drive easily, the joy of driving is going to be less lovely. And maybe it's more fun to just take an Uber when you need it, rent a car.
Right.
And so the great transformation isn't that far away. I think by 2020, you're going to be seeing this stuff out there. I was in Des Moines, Iowa, and they already have autonomous vehicle tractors. And the whole state is putting in smart roads because the agriculturalists, the big guys, big pharma, want trucks that, and that's going to be the early entry. The trucks are going to be autonomous, and they can't find drivers anyhow. I mean, I work with a cement company. They couldn't find drivers. What would autonomous vehicles do if nobody wants to drive their cement trucks? Anyway, I think it's going to be fun.
Oh, I think it is, too. I think it's an opportunity. And we've talked about this a lot on the show, and I kind of want to close a little bit with this. So I've had two different sides of this. I've had people tell me that the coming AI revolution is akin to the industrial revolution versus the agricultural that we used to have in the United States. And we survived that. We created new ways, new roles, more meaning for people every day to get out of bed, right? Are you that optimistic about what's coming?
Listen, remember the Luddites in England went after all the mills when they got rid of their jobs and industrialized it. So your point is interesting. I think that we have a huge gap coming that worries me because once we get over it, it isn't like telephone operators. There were 400,000 of them. Now there are 10. You know, it's not as if you're going to be easily able to move them. The intelligence and the ability to do this is going to be dramatically different. And so you're going to have to retool all those colleges teaching liberal arts, or maybe not. I mean, I think that there's a lot of unknowns. But if you stay agile now during this, you're going to have lots of fun as you reinvent the next age. I love the schools that are opening up 3D printing centers so the kids can learn how to 3D print.
Yes.
And if they can also figure out how to help them think artificial intelligence.
Yep, and coding.
And coding and all this, I think it's just going to be a great time.
I agree with you. I'm optimistic, too. I am. Hey, what's the title of your book?
The book's called On the Brink, A Fresh Lens to Take Your Business to New Heights. It just won a bronze award from the Axiom Best Business Books of 2017.
Wow, I didn't know that. Thank you.
Last week.
Andy, always a pleasure to see you. Please come back.
Thank you, Jason.
That was Andy Simon, a corporate anthropologist and author of the award-winning book, On the Brink, A Fresh Lens to Take Your Business to New Heights. Andy has much more on this and other workplace issues on her website, andywithanisimon.com. We also have related links up on our podcast page at kgoradio.com/techonomics. Actually, all of our podcast segments live on that page as well, past and present. And we put related links as well as the music we play on Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. Okay, let's stick with Uber for just a minute. In a very public way, the growing pains of the San Francisco-based disruptor is showing the warts of Silicon Valley. Sexism, bullying, even threats against journalists. It all seems to continue to create headlines even after CEO Travis Kalanick admitted that he needed leadership help and began a search for a COO. Now, that came after he was caught on video berating one of his own drivers. And during the resignation of Uber's president, who, after 6 months on the job, couldn't jam with the take-no-prisoners-win-at-all-costs vibe that Kalanick and others have created. On the technology side, Uber is pushing the envelope, once again, not always in an above-board way. Google's self-driving unit, Waymo, is suing Uber's recent acquisition, Otto, O-T-T-O, for stealing trade secrets. Even if you disregard the allegations of illegality, Otto makes self-driving trucks, which are illegal to test on public roads. Persistent rumors, not just rumors, but they are that Uber is testing on rural California roads anyway. And then there's flying cars. Uber hired a genius engineer in February of 2017 who wrote a white paper about the viability of vertically landing and taking off vehicles. Now, likely this is just blocking and tackling against technical competitors. The thinking could be, what if someone else did this first and without us? But Uber still has a larger problem. Even for a closely held company, perception and culture, Uber as a company took off and grew quickly, and diversity in hiring suffered in the process. Kalanick and management now have a chance to straighten things out, not just for the optics of it, but because it's the right thing to do. I'm Jason Middleton, and you're listening to Techonomics.